We'll now turn to our scripture readings for this morning. We have one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. If you turn then to the book of Psalms and the 23rd Psalm, a very well known, very familiar Psalm to us all, we'll read Psalm 23, and then after that we'll turn to some of the verses that we find in the Gospel according to John and the 10th chapter, but let us hear God's own holy word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. If you turn now then in your Bible to the New Testament and the Gospel according to John, we'll read verses 1 to 30 of John chapter 10, another very familiar passage, I'm sure, to you all. It describes Jesus as the shepherd, the true shepherd and the good shepherd of his people. John chapter 10. Verses 1 through 30. And Jesus here, of course, is speaking to the Jews and the Pharisees, and he says to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Amen. May God bless that reading of his own holy word. Oh, congregation, if you turn in your Bibles once again to the first passage, God's word that we read together earlier, a wonderful Psalm of David, reminds us so well that the Lord is the shepherd of his people, Psalm 23. And our focus this morning will be on the opening line of that psalm. Wonderful words. And I hope we can all say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, Psalm 23 is undoubtedly one of the best known and most loved and frequently quoted of all of the psalms. And although it's one of the shorter psalms, it has been mightily used by God to bring hope and comfort to countless believers for centuries, ever since it was first written over 3,000 years ago. And we might well ask, what is it that has made this psalm such a potent source of power to speak into the lives of many, many people from all walks of life? And I think the answer lies in what it tells us about God himself as a shepherd. For I believe we all instinctively know, deep down in our hearts, however much we may try to suppress it and deny it, that something is missing from our lives, that we've lost our way in life. And so we desperately need a shepherd then. We need someone to guide us through this labyrinth called life. For you see, by nature, we do find ourselves, just like the multitudes that Jesus described in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. We're just like sheep without a shepherd. Because you see, we've all gone astray from God. And we are separated from him by nature. And so we don't enjoy the deep and meaningful relationship with God which we were actually made for. And as a result, we're left then with a great aching void in our hearts, and we lack any sense, any real sense, at least, of true purpose and direction in life. And so often then we wander aimlessly through life, just like Jeremiah says, and we're constantly trying to hew out for ourselves broken cisterns that can hold no water. And we go from one thing to the next, desperately trying to find security and satisfaction in something other than God himself, only to discover it is all empty and utterly unable to meet the deepest longings of our hearts. But you see, that's what's so beautiful about Psalm 23. It calls us back to God himself, the fountain of living water, the only one who can truly meet and supply all of our deepest needs, and who can give us true and abiding heart satisfaction in life, because He is the Good Shepherd who loves and who cares for the sheep who are under His care. And He watches over them day and night to protect them, to keep them, to lead them more and more into the way of life and true blessedness. Well, I've decided, in light of the circumstances which we find ourselves in, to put on hold the discipleship series at present. And I want to look at this beautiful psalm with you in the coming weeks, to try to mine it for all its worth, so that we would begin to see the richness of this psalm to meet us in all of our varied needs at whatever age and stage in life we may be. And my hope and prayer is that as we take time in the coming weeks to study this psalm, that it will be used of God to minister to you and to enable you to entrust your life more fully into the hands of the Lord Himself, the one who David describes here as the great shepherd of His people. And if you feel this morning that you have lost your way in life, the peace that you do long for in your heart, it is eluding you, then ask God that as we delve into this wonderful psalm together, that you would discover its power to transform your life and to heal your soul, that you would see for yourself that the only way to know true peace and real joy in life is to intimately know the shepherd described here, and to know what it is to be in His constant care and keeping. For God, my friend, He's able and He is willing, He's more than willing to do that for you, as He has done for many, many people before you, if you will but ask Him. Let me tell you of what He did through this psalm for one particular man who had lost his way in life. He'd gone astray from God, and yet the Lord restored his soul and set his feet back on the path of life. And that's what He's waiting to do for all those. As the Lord Jesus said in the chapter that we read, John chapter 10 earlier, for all those who will come to Him, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. A life that is so beautifully pictured for us here in Psalm 23. Well, I read the story of this particular man as it's narrated by a Methodist preacher from the past, Dr. Charles Allen. He speaks about him in his book, and it's entitled God's Psychiatry. And in that book, he tells of this man who'd come to see him, and he'd been sent to him at the suggestion of his own doctor. Well, this man, he had started life working at the very bottom of the ladder with a particular company. And over time, he'd managed to work his way all the way up to the top of that company, thinking that material prosperity and success would bring him the satisfaction in life that he was looking for. But along the way, he discovered, as so many have who've trod that path before him, that life does not consist, as the Bible says, in the abundance of things which we possess. And he'd found to his cost that he'd become a very worried, very tense and sick man as a result of giving himself to these things. And he'd been to doctors and he'd taken bottles of pills, but nothing was helping him. His condition was only getting worse. And so Dr. Allen, he talked with this man for a while about his life, and then he took out a sheet of paper from the drawer in his desk, and he said to the man, if you went to see a doctor, he would give you a prescription. And he said, that's what I want to do for you as a pastor. And so he wrote out a prescription for this man all of his own. And he told him, he said to him, take the prescription exactly as I write it. 5 times a day for 7 days, I want you to read prayerfully and carefully the 23rd Psalm. He said, when you awaken in the morning, before each meal, and last thing at night before you go to bed, I want you to read this psalm and ask God to bless it to your heart. And Dr. Allen gave out the prescription, he says, with confidence. With the confidence that it would work, because he said he'd given that same advice many times before, and it had never failed to bring restoration and renewal. For he believed that the 23rd Psalm, as he says, is one of the most powerful pieces of writing in existence. And it can do marvelous things for any person. And so he told this man, he said, I have suggested this same practice to many people over the years. And in every instance which I know of it being tried, it has always produced results. And he said to the man, I am convinced it can change your life in 7 days. Well, Dr. Allen says in his book that in a week, that man returned to him literally a different person. His peace, his health had returned to him. Because you see, through the powerful application of that psalm to his heart, he had come to know the Lord as his shepherd. And the joy and the comfort that comes from that. And you see, that's what the Word of God, which is living and powerful, can do in the life of any individual as they ask God to bless it to them. It can speak peace into our hearts in a way that nothing else can or ever will in this life. And so I want to begin to look at this psalm this morning with the hope and prayer, as I've said, that God will apply it powerfully to all of our hearts. And I ask you that you too would approach it prayerfully each week, so that we might come to know the Lord as our shepherd, either for the first time or in a much richer and deeper way. And so this morning we'll begin to look at the first line of the opening verse of this psalm by considering in the first place the identity of the shepherd who David is speaking about here. And then secondly, I want to focus on the intimacy of the relationship which exists between the shepherd and his sheep. Well, in the first place then, we'll consider the identity of the shepherd who is described for us here by David. And this is a psalm that was written by David, who, as you know, was the shepherd king of Israel. David had began his life as a shepherd boy, taking care of sheep, but he rose to become the king of Israel. And we don't know exactly when he wrote this psalm, except that it was later in life, either as a middle-aged or an older man. And some commentators suggest that it may have been penned during the rebellion of David's son Absalom, when he tried to take over the kingdom for himself. And so David, of course, he had to flee from his home. But whether that's the case or not, One thing we do know for certain, David had been through a lot in his life by this time, and he knew what it was to experience a lot of blessing in life, yes, but he had also known a lot of hardship, a lot of pain in life. And life had taught him then his own great need of the Lord as his shepherd. And no doubt as he reflected on all that he had been through in life, all that the Lord had done for him and all that the Lord had been to him, his mind was taken back to his days as a shepherd boy and the relationship that he himself had had to the sheep that were under his care during that time. And having been a shepherd then, David was only too aware of just how much a sheep does need a shepherd. And writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here then, he's directed by God to pen this amazing psalm to demonstrate to the people of God that all that an ancient Oriental shepherd was to his sheep, the Lord is, and much, much more to his sheep. And you and I may be far removed from the world of shepherding as it was practiced in David's day. But this psalm, it's designed to bring us to yearn to know more of the person and the love of the shepherd whom we meet with here. For you see, David knows there are good shepherds, but there are also bad shepherds. And he knows what it means for a sheep to be part of a flock, the flock of a good shepherd. And David is speaking here then as one of the flock of the good shepherd that we were reading about. And so he begins this psalm by directing our minds to the identity of this shepherd. And so he says that the shepherd he's speaking about here is none other than the Lord himself. Lord, the one who's referred to time and time again throughout the Bible as the shepherd of his people. You see that, for example, throughout the Psalms themselves. You see it in Isaiah and Jeremiah and in Ezekiel. And continually throughout the minor prophets, we see God's people described as his flock, the people of his pasture and his sheep, indicating that he is the shepherd of his people. He's the one who leads them through the wilderness of this world until he brings them to the promised land. And what a profound truth that is when we stop to think about who the Lord actually is. The word translated here as Lord, as I'm sure you know, is Yahweh or Jehovah. It's the word that's used in the Bible for the personal covenant name of God. Because you see, it's a name that emphasizes and draws our attention to his personal commitment to his people. Draws our attention to the fact that God has entered into a binding covenant with his people to be their God. And that means he'll never leave them nor forsake them, no matter what they experience in life. And you'll remember, I'm sure, that this is the name that God first used to reveal himself to Moses at the burning bush. You remember there in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, God spoke to Moses and he said, I am who I am. Remember Moses, he'd asked God for a name that he could present to the enslaved Hebrews whom God was going to be sending him to liberate them from their bondage. And God said to him, "This is what you shall say to the children of Israel. Say to them, 'I am, has sent me to you.'" And then God went on to say to him in verse 15 of that very same chapter, he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" Because you see, the name I Am and the name Yahweh or Lord, they are both related. They come from a Hebrew verb which means to be. And so when David says here, "The Lord is his shepherd," he's identifying himself with the one, the only, living and true God, the God who is completely self-existent, completely self-sustaining, God who had no beginning, who will have no end, for he is the eternal one. And that means, you see, he's not dependent upon anyone or anything else in life, for life and being, because he himself is the very one who gives life and being to everything else. He has brought everything else into being, and he's the one who continues to uphold and sustain all that he has created by the word of his power. And how utterly amazing that is then, that any created being, far less a sinful one, can call God, this God, his shepherd. That the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth and all things, is actually willing to condescend to be the shepherd of men and women to all generations. That's utterly amazing. And you see, before we go any further into this psalm, we need to pause and let the absolute wonder of the profundity of what David is saying here come home to our hearts and our minds. I fear we can get so used to talking about God and things divine, can become so familiar with the words of a psalm like this, that they wash over us and they don't impact us as they ought. I mean, child of God, do you and I understand the utter enormity of what this opening line is actually telling us, and the amazing implications that this has for your life and mine? For if this God is for us, as Paul reminds us, then who or what can possibly be against us? Because you see, this God is not simply related to us by way of creation alone, by virtue of the fact that he is our creator. That's something that's true of all people, Christian and non-Christian alike. But you see, the added wonder of what the psalmist is saying here is that God the Lord is related to us as our shepherd by virtue of the fact he has redeemed us. That's why, as we said earlier, this name is the personal covenant name of God. That's why when we come to the New Testament, we discover that the shepherd spoken of here is none other than the Lord Jesus Himself. This is the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep in order that He might redeem them and make them His covenant people. That's why I chose to also read part of John chapter 10 earlier. And remember the original audience that Jesus was addressing here, there in that chapter. They were Jews. He was speaking to people who were steeped in the Old Testament. And they knew perfectly well from Psalm 23 and other parts of the Old Testament that this motif as God as shepherd was all over the Old Testament. And so the Lord God is the one that is described as the shepherd of His people. And so when they were standing there listening to Jesus speak to them as being the good shepherd, and they heard Jesus identifying Himself with the shepherd of the Old Testament, they knew that could only mean one thing. They knew that He was claiming to be God, the God who had revealed Himself all throughout the Old Testament as the shepherd of His people. And that's the very reason why then they accused Him of blasphemy. And they took up stones to put Him to death. Because He said, "I and the Father are one." That He was the shepherd of Israel. And so when we ask who is the shepherd of Psalm 23, we need to see that it is Jesus Himself who is the Lord and the shepherd of His people. And let us never forget that. The only reason why any one of us in this congregation can say the Lord is my shepherd is because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us in purchasing us with His own precious blood. And you see, the intimate personal relationship which exists between the shepherd and the sheep, it's rooted and grounded there, not simply in the fact that we belong to God as part of His creation, but that we belong to Him because He Himself has redeemed us. Because you see, it's sheep and the possession of sheep that make a shepherd. And that raises the question, it ought to raise the question for all of us as we begin to look at this psalm. We need to ask ourselves the question, have we been redeemed by Christ? Do we belong to Him as His sheep? Because you see, the tragedy is that if we don't belong to the Lord Jesus, then this psalm doesn't belong to us. And we cannot say with confidence at the very outset, the Lord is my shepherd. And it's not enough then to merely know the words of this psalm, to have them memorized even, and to be familiar with all of its content, as so many are. We need to be able to own it as our own, because we know the shepherd of whom it speaks. Makes me think, boys and girls, of the little lad. He got himself a new pocket knife. His friends were gathering around him, excited to see his new pocket knife. And one of them said to him with excitement, "It's got a corkscrew." And he said, "It's mine." Another said, "It's got a pearl handle." But again, he simply replied and he said, "It's mine." And then another looked at it and said, "It has six blades." But again, he exclaimed, "It's mine." And you see, while his friends could look at the pocket knife, they could say various things about it. It was only that little lad that could confidently say, "It's mine." And you see, that's the matter we need to have settled in our minds as we begin to look at this psalm. We need to be asking ourselves, do we have good grounds to take it to ourselves, to claim it as our own, to say of this psalm, "It's mine"? Because we have a right to say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd." Because you see, as we come to look more briefly in the second place at the intimacy of the relationship which exists between the sheep and the shepherd, we'll see there are certain defining marks of this relationship whereby we can know whether we do belong to the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, or not. For Jesus himself says in John chapter 14 that his sheep know the shepherd because they belong to him. And you see, because they do belong to him as those who've been purchased by him, Jesus also says there are certain things that are true about the sheep. They hear his voice and they follow him. And so one of the defining marks of all of the sheep of Christ's fold is that they hear the shepherd's voice. They recognize his voice and they listen to his voice. And remember that Jesus is speaking here in a Middle Eastern context in which each shepherd had developed a unique, distinctive call which his own sheep immediately recognized and responded to. And so when several shepherds and several flocks of sheep would be inhabiting one area of land, and at night when all of those sheep would be mingled together in giant corrals or folds, it wasn't a problem to separate them. You see, in the morning, one by one, each shepherd would come to the door of that fold and they would call out to the sheep. And the different sheep, they would only respond to the voice of their own shepherd. And they would head in the direction of the shepherd when he called out to them. And he would then lead them out of the fold. And they would follow him to their various different pastures. And that's what Jesus is saying here, that his sheep hear his voice and they respond to it. Because you see, he knows them and they know him. And the word that Jesus uses here for hearing, it doesn't mean simply that they hear a indistinct sound, but that they hear and they understand. They hear with understanding. And you see, when God's Spirit begins to work in the life of any sinner, that's what begins to happen. They may have been sitting for years under sermons, and it went in one ear and out the other. Didn't make any sense to them. They heard, "Come to me and follow me." And it went in one ear and out the other. It had no impact whatever on their lives. But you see, something happened. They begin to hear. They begin to recognize the voice of their shepherd now calling to them through his own word when they hear it preached. And when they now pick up their Bible to read it in their own personal study time. And it's that same word in the hands of the Holy Spirit, which they now to begin to understand. And it begins to draw life into their soul. And you see, when that life comes into the soul of any individual, the prevailing desire that it creates within their heart is to now walk in new obedience to the will of their shepherd, as he now makes his will known to them through that same word. But you see, because they've received life from God, they don't want to be free any longer to pursue their own course in life. They desire to place themselves at the disposal of their shepherd so that their whole life in its entirety can be brought under his direction and control. And why is that? Because you see, they now want to honor the Lord Jesus by following him, because they now recognize that they do belong to him. And it's Christ and Christ alone who has the right to tell them what to do and where to go. What Jesus is giving us here then, in this brief description of his sheep as those who hear his voice and follow him, this is nothing less than a description of every Christian man or woman or boy or girl. For what else is a Christian but someone who desires and who does follow Jesus Christ? They count it their greatest joy in life to do so, and it's their greatest pain in life when they let down their shepherd, when they don't listen to his voice and they go astray from them. It breaks their heart when they look at the stupidity that they see so often in their lives. And can you and I say then, as we begin to look at this psalm, can we say with honesty, we do know the voice of the Good Shepherd? Not perfectly. We don't always respond to it as we ought, but can we say that we do know the voice of the Good Shepherd, and are we seeking to respond to it purposefully by now walking in newness of life and following in the steps of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? For you see, that's the real beauty of Christianity. That's what this psalm is saying to us. Christianity, my friend, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's first and foremost about enjoying a relationship, a beautiful relationship with our God and our Creator through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why Psalm 23 is not simply speaking about the Lord as a shepherd, but as the shepherd who knows his sheep and who is known by them, so that they can now say with confidence, however hesitatingly at times, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, this psalm was written then by a man of faith for a people of faith, those who have come to know the Lord personally through faith. Because you see, they've come to see they are just like sheep who have gone astray. And so they desperately need a shepherd to lead them and guide them in life. As John Calvin says, the Lord is a shepherd only to those who, touched with a sense of their own weakness and poverty, feel their need of his protection, and therefore they willingly abide in his sheepfold and surrender themselves to be governed by him. Oh, my dear friend here in Mitchell, if that's true of you and I, then we can and we ought to say with joy and with assurance, the Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. And we hope to look more at the wonder of that glorious truth next time, the Lord willing. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are the shepherd of your people to all generations, that you tenderly love and care for the sheep of your fold, that you yourself have done all things necessary to gather the sheep into the fold, that you have now bound yourself in covenant to be with them through all of life, through the valley of the shadow of death, until at last you bring them out of this wilderness life and you bring them into your immediate presence in glory itself. And we thank you for this precious psalm, and we pray as we begin to study it more closely that all of us would see what an amazing and wonderful thing it is if we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And we pray that all of us would search our hearts as we do begin to look at this psalm, to say and see that we can say with confidence that that is true of ourselves. And we pray, Lord, that if we look into our hearts and we discover that it's not the case, we pray, Lord, that you would see that this is also an invitation from you to come and to be part of the fold, that you delight to gather the sheep that have gone astray, to call them to yourself, to unite them to yourself, and to be their God and guide in life and beyond. And we pray then, Lord, that all of us would be seeking your blessing in these weeks. As we look at this psalm, we pray that you would open up its riches to us, that you would lead us into all of the wonderful truths that it contains. And we pray that your people would be strengthened and encouraged and equipped to face life and death as we look at these things and as you bless them and apply them by your Spirit to all of our hearts. Go before us into this day. Bless my brother elder this afternoon as we have the opportunity to listen to him as he brings your word to us through the sermon that he has selected to read. Uphold him and help him. We ask and bless and apply your word richly to all of our minds and hearts. Go before us and keep us. Bless this day to our spiritual good and to our physical bodies also, for we ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.